The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
J.A. Adonde, David Dennis Jr., Kevin Blackstone, Frank Isola. The bracket! Playing tonight. I took this off a plane with Rocco DiMeo. Toughest reputation in Nexus County. Also, Bucks Kings last night. Feisty finals preview.
Giannis can just dribble the ball out. That's all he had to do. Nothing would have happened, so.
Let's go around the horn.
A Sopranos and a Seinfeld reference all in one. Not bad. They blend.
Memphis Grizzlies beat the Dallas Mavericks last night. This game was without Luka. This game was without Kyrie. For Memphis, this game was still without Ja Morant. And I want to talk about the news there. Ja Morant reportedly now in counseling in Florida. No return date set. The details here are none, nor need they be, as sports intersects with recovery. Frank Isola on the latest development and the league and team position they find themselves in.
Yeah, we still don't know if we're going to see Ja Morant play again this season. Could there be a suspension that could keep him out for the rest of the year? But what he's doing right now in Florida is separate from what the league is dealing with. The league is trying to figure out in their investigation, did he bring a handgun on the plane, which is a violation of the NBA rules? Was it in a locker room? Was it in the team hotel? Because remember, you know, an intervention with Ja Morant should have taken place probably in January, and that report came out in The Athletic that players on the Indiana Pacers in their traveling party felt like a gun was being pointed at them. Now, the NBA did an investigation, and they said no one can corroborate that, but the Indiana Pacers security guard said 100% that was a gun. So this is a very serious situation. It's good that he's getting help now, but the NBA still has to deal with it, separate of what Ja Morant is dealing with in Florida.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, whatever may be troubling Ja Morant that he is going into counseling for, we all hope the best. The only thing I can speak to is what we've talked about when it comes to Ja Morant the last several weeks, and that's the gunplay. And I think that we all, not just Ja Morant, need to be in counseling about our gun culture in this country. There are too many deaths. There are too many deaths from Ja Morant's, from his demographic group, young black males. There are too many disconnections between what the public wants and what legislatures are doing around this country in terms of loosening or tightening gun laws. We all need to come to grips with that. And so, you know, if there's one thing the league can do, maybe it's to shine a light on that.
David Dennis Jr. on this development to hear Morant is in counseling and the position team and league may find themselves in.
Yeah, I see this as a positive turn to a story that a couple weeks ago seemed like it was heading to a terrifying, dangerous, dark place. The fact that Ja Morant has gone out and sought this counseling, the fact that his team and organization, even though they are, you know, on the precipice of what could be a championship season, are allowing him the time to do that and not pressuring him to come back, and the league is also, you know, allowing him that time, is important. This, you know, is about more than this season. It's about Ja Morant's future. You know, down in New Orleans, Zion is out for an undetermined amount of time for a hamstring injury, and, you know, Ja Morant is out for an undetermined amount of time for an ailment as well. This is a mental health ailment, which is just as important and just as necessary for him. So I'm not really concerned about what that means for this season. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about what this means for Morant going forward and how he can better himself, you know, in the next stage of his life and his career.
And J.A. Adonde.
Exactly, David. It needs to be about the long term. I mean, look, they're still in this number two seed right now. Things could theoretically get better for them, but you're looking at, a loss is a number with Brandon Clark, lost for a year with injury. Steven Adams out till probably right around the end of the regular season. And Ja Morant, we don't know. The Grizzlies don't have to rush anything right now. Their window is just beginning to open. Steven Adams, the oldest player on the roster, he turns 30 this summer. Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., both are 23 years old. So this team has a young core. It has time to grow, and I would not rush anything. It's about getting Ja Morant mentally right for the long term and also for the duration of the five-year $231 million contract extension that kicks in. At some point, you have to look at this in the basketball terms down the road. Right now,
whether that's even available now,
of John Morant.
As that would hinge on an All-NBA and whether he can make All-NBA after this season. Well, these are things. What I'm interested about is how we have this conversation and talk about this conversation. I'm pleased, and there has been an evolution in how a recovery program for an athlete has been viewed, and we're seeing that play out in real time. But also part of this conversation is the invasion of the privacy of videos that leaked in the last week surrounding this, and that needs to be shared as well. There's a stigma in how we talk about recovery, and let this story be a way we can evolve and think of the person, Ja Morant, first, and not think about the wins and losses and the future earnings or not going forward. We'll move, thanks for your thoughts on that, to the game story from Bucks-Kings last night. Milwaukee 133, Sacramento 124. Maybe it's a finals preview and Sacramento's run against some teams with less than full strength rosters ran into Milwaukee at full strength last night. Giannis had a dunky 46. And the game ended feisty when Giannis was dribbling out or not dribbling out. De'Aaron Fox was upset about that. To see Lyles and Lopez go at it, to see a member of a Lopez family go at it, but not a mascot, was interesting. This was a point of contention on the court. After the game, though, Giannis didn't take the bite from De'Aaron Fox. He talked about how good Sacramento is, but how they need some time and maybe need to get into the playoffs, win a little bit, lose a little bit, play a game seven, and that type of experience. J.A., I want to ask you, your takeaway from last night in this feisty matchup.
Well, I'm going to push back on Giannis a little bit, and just based on his own experience. If you look at what led to the Bucks winning a championship, to quote Joel from The Last of Us, it wasn't time that did it. It was Giannis coming to the realization that even as a back-to-back MVP, he wasn't good enough. He had to be better, and he accepted that and did something about that, and that led to that 50-piece in Game 6 of the Finals to clinch the championship for them. So it's going to take the Kings that realization that they're not as good as they think they are, that they have a long way to go. But they should be encouraged that they hung with the Bucks last night.
Sure.
And that was the best we've seen Milwaukee play. At least I've seen Milwaukee play since those Finals 2 years ago.
Mm. David Dennis Jr.
Well, Jay, that speaks to the big issues with the Kings. The reason that the Bucks look like the best team you've seen in 2 years is because the Kings are terrible at defense. They're a bottom five defense, and they gave up 133 points last night. And they're going to, you know, if they don't fix that defense, Lyles, you know, basically bear hugging Giannis at the end of the game was the best defense they played all game last night. You know, so that's their main problem. In terms of Giannis's points about how they play, you know, them needing experience, I think in general that is accurate, but this Kings team is playing like a veteran team, namely De'Aaron Fox. His clutch numbers are through the roof, 55% in the last, you know, shooting in the last 5 minutes of the game, 54% in the last 3 minutes of the game when the game's within 3 points. They're playing like a veteran team. I don't think that's going to be the issue. It's going to be the defense.
Kevin Blackstone.
That's a great point, David. I mean, when you look at the Bucks and how they won a championship, how did they win it? Did they win it with offense? They won it with defense. And they're still right now one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. And it was too late for the Kings to be defensive at the end of that game. They should have been more defensive during that game. But, you know, the Kings remind me a little bit of the Hawks from a few years ago. A lot of young players, a star player to lead them, and you're just wondering where they're going to go. And I think they should pay as much attention to the maturation of the Bucks into champions as they should the maturation that didn't happen with the Hawks from just a couple years ago.
And Frank Isola.
Let's remember they have the longest playoff drought right now in the NBA, so anything they do in the postseason is going to benefit them. And we know how it works. No new team is winning three playoff series and getting to a finals. But Sabonis is a top 10 MVP guy this year. De'Aaron Fox is outstanding. Kevin Huerter had a big game last night. But one thing about the way that game ended, you showed the highlight. At 118-114, Giannis comes down the game and Trey Lyles bails out, yet he wants to get physical with him at the end of the game. They had plenty of opportunity during the game to get physical with Giannis and Antetokounmpo. They waited to the end to do some pushing, so that was a weak move on their
part. Looking at the Western Conference, the standings, though, okay? I mean, we know Denver's the one seed, feeling pretty good, and Memphis bubbled up. Sacramento's got a great home court advantage. And they also play well on the road, which is not true for every team in the NBA
Mike
right
the beam.
Now.
Warriors. Golden State.
One more story here. World Baseball Classic. There was a little wonder about Team USA going into the game with Canada. Then 9 came in the first. USA 12. Canada 1. J.A., are the Americans back on track?
Yeah, well, this was always going to be the path, right? They weren't going to do it through pitching. All the best pitchers, you know, said we can't play, yeah. And then there's all those pitch restrictions. But the lineup is awesome. So it's always was going to be the lineup that was going to lead them. And speaking of pitch restrictions, I mean, if we're going to have these restrictions while the players are in spring training, can't we have this tournament during the middle of the year and have pitch restriction there? Like, we should be paying more attention to this, but it's March Madness. It's some great NBA games. I would love to have this in July and give it the
attention. Whoa. You're not paying attention to this. There have been great games. Have you seen the stadiums in Japan and elsewhere?
The idea of stopping a season
to do this is interesting. Frank Isola, you have not exactly been high on this American roster, but to see it come together with a 9-1 win.
Well, you do have Mike Trout. You do have Mookie Betts. You better win some games. They did beat a 19-year-old pitcher, and let's face it, if we're playing Canada in basketball and baseball, no offense to our friends in the upper U.S., we better be able to beat them, and I think they needed that.
I think that's a little bit of offense. But Jingo Frank here.
But they needed to. That was a game they had to have. But remember, there are so many good teams in this tournament. Once you get to single elimination, there's no guarantee. When you think about Japan, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, we're going to be in some trouble.
JB?
Yeah, exactly. Those are the teams that I would worry about if I'm the U.S. if I'm the USA. It's not Canada, and that is not a knock against Canada. It's just the truth of the matter.
It seems like it's a knock against Canada. It just feels like that.
And it's exactly the same way we think about USA basketball, that we should beat everybody. It's a little bit different in baseball, but this is the sport that we exported to the rest of the world. So they should absolutely be doing to everybody what they did yesterday.
Dennis Jr.
So much American pride. Sorry to Canada, Canadian fans are watching the show today. My goodness. Unlike J.A., I've been watching this, and I'm paying all kinds of attention. This is exhilarating baseball, despite the fact that the United States, yes, like everybody says, probably going to lose and they get into better competition. But it's good to see, you know, Mike Trout, Tim Anderson out there doing their thing. But, you know, it's going to be good while
Canada started, like you said, a single-A pitcher at 19 years of age. Well, let's give Canada some love, all right? Because there was a hockey game this week where the national anthem for the United States, the recording went out, and all the Canadian fans sang it. So, standing on guard for us and for thee when they're doing that. Adonde, get on this World Baseball Classic. Team Italy has an espresso machine in the dugout, all right? Oh, and Puerto Rico. A moment here for Puerto Rico, an 8-inning mercy rule combined perfect game over Israel. That's a sentence that's never been said before.
Oy,
you know who catches for Puerto Rico? Martin Maldonado. So he has a World Baseball Classic perfect game on his resume and a World Series no-no. That is impressive. Buy or sell next.
You know what Italian pitcher?
Let him play it out if you're going to a no-hitter.
Multi-pitcher, mercy rule.
Let him play it out.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
NFL news, and it's actually news and not talking about news. We're not taking the bait. Darren Waller traded to the New York Giants. Raiders sending their tight end for a third-round pick. Frank, everybody focusing on the Jets. What about this move for the Giants?
I think it's a great move for them. It's a great move for Daniel Jones, who's a good quarterback. Saquon Barkley is a terrific running back. And you look at the Giants' history, whether it's Mark Bavaro, Howard Cross, Kevin Boss, all won Super Bowls. The tight end is important, just as important as that defense.
Bring up Mark Bavaro. Oh, you get the points. Kevin Blackiston.
Well, you know, yeah, I have to talk about that too. And in that light, there aren't 10 tight ends in NFL history who have strung together 1,100-yard seasons. Waller's one of them. The problem, Frank, is that's a few years ago. Since then, he's been kind of banged up. But for a third-round pick, this is a hopeful
David
move.
Dennis Jr.?
Don't be a hater.
Do I get points? Mark Bavaro, can I get some points too?
No, you do. Everybody gets it. Guys, right, young viewers, please, go Google Mark Bavaro and Ronnie Lott and see what happens. See what human being carried Ronnie Lott 14 yards. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I think this is a solid move for the Giants. They figured out that their best option for Daniel Jones was a stellar tight end who, yes, he's had a couple of rough seasons, but before then was one of the best in the league. Daniel Jones obviously needs help. The Giants clearly looked on the wide receiver market and figured that this is the best bet, and it better be because they banked a lot on Daniel Jones' performance going forward.
Hey, Donde.
Hey, it's Aaron to New York. We're getting closer, Tony. We're getting closer.
Oh, watch yourself. Don't even do it.
I like this move for the Giants because look, Daniel Jones last year was top five in rushing attempts for quarterbacks, 120. And just because you can doesn't mean you should all the time. So now he's got more weapons that he can throw to. Hopefully he won't have to take off.
News of the day, Darren Waller Plum to the Giants. Buy or sell two, Austin Eckler not happy with extension talks with the Chargers. Now reported looking for teams who may be interested in trading for him. Should the Chargers allow it? Buy or sell, Jay? Concern for the LA Chargers here that Eckler might want out.
I'd be concerned. I mean, this guy scored almost half their offensive touchdowns last year, 44%, but he's got to try to get paid. Raheem Mostert didn't help getting $7.6 million over 2 years
from Miami.
When he came within 25 yards, it's the same amount of rushing yards as Eckler last year. So he's not helping the market for running
back. David Dennis Jr.?
There's a lot of focus on, you know, 26 TDs in the last couple years. But what's most important, is most concerning about this, the Chargers, that he was a leading receiver. Herbert needs him. They work together. You got a new offense coordinator out there trying to make this make sense. And you need to keep one of the best running backs in the game. This is a bad move.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, since Eckler's coming to the league, he's one of the most productive running backs in the league, particularly when it comes to getting into the end zone and particularly when it comes to catching passes out of the backfield. And they don't have anybody behind him. It would behoove them to sign Mr. Eckler.
All right, guys, Sola.
Well, you know how it works with running backs, though. They don't have a long shelf life, so these teams don't have the value. They don't put as much value as they should, and that's an issue. I get it why he wants to make the money now. But running back is not the greatest position. You should be a relief pitcher before you want to be a running back. Then you'll get paid.
The bracket! T-minus 1 hour, 23 minutes until the tournament starts. Or does it? Question mark. Southeast Missouri State, Texas A&M CC, the early play-in. Pittsburgh, Mississippi State after that. David, this is the 12th tournament since the expansion to 68. Is the play-in working?
No, it's not working. It's sort of a meaningless extra few games to pad some numbers and make a little bit of money. What also doesn't work is the fact that you have teams at one tournament that are still playing. This should be only at-large teams who are in these last four spots trying to get
Thank
in.
Thank you very much.
Otherwise,
Kevin Black.
Yeah, otherwise, what's the point of the tournament? Mm-hmm.
You know what? If you have a bracket printed out and you see a forward slash between two teams in one of those brackets, that means it does not work. So unless and until that is removed, this is fakery.
Frank Isola.
I would like it a lot more if they played at the site of where their next game is going to be. A, that cuts down on travel, and it makes them feel like they're part of the tournament. In the other hotels, you see all the other teams there. Make it special for the teams that advance to the tournament, because a lot of them, they don't really, it's once every blue moon that they get.
Hey, Donde, thank you very much.
Right, it's nebulous. We all know the tournament really begins on Thursday. With the rare exception, we get teams with a pedigree like that UCLA-Michigan State matchup a couple years ago. UCLA wound up winning and going all the way to the championship game. I don't think we're going to see that out of this group.
Have a play-in, but it is unbecoming of the tournament to have teams that win their conference and be a 16 seed play tonight. I know I've heard it said they make money for their conference. They get a win in the tournament. But if you don't fill it out on your bracket, you're not really in the tournament. Save that for those last teams in from the big conferences. Jay Adonde, Nathan Jennings Jr., thank you for your time. Blackstone, Isola, the bracket! Showdown, next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The news that Jimmy Garoppolo has finally moved on from San Francisco got the artist who drew Jimmy G every day for 404 days when he was somewhere in limbo with San Francisco to work her final piece. Rita Ora did it. It's Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption mode for Jimmy G. Kevin, grade this piece of art.
I just like the stick-to-itiveness of doing this piece of art. I mean, to me, that looks fantastic. Some of the art that we've had on this show hasn't lived up to that standard right there.
Frank Isola.
Yes.
I think it's excellent. Plus, she picked a good-looking guy to be drawing. All I know is only two people with more time in their hands than Rita to do this over 400 days. That's two professors, Jay Adonde and Kevin Blackerstone.
All right, fine. Because
those one or two classes.
All we want to say here is support. Artists. That's all we want to say. We'll split the point. We'll move on. All right, here's our showdown. Bringing bags of candy to apologize for a hit by pitch. Japan's Roki Sasaki hit the Czech Republic's Willy Escalo with a 100.9 mile per hour pitch. And now, as is the Japanese baseball custom, the pitcher gifted the hitter with bags full of Japanese candy. So my question, is this a custom that should be brought to Major League Baseball? And what should the candy be, Frank?
100% it should. The Japanese are great. When their fans go to the World Cup, they clean up the section that they're in.
Yes.
I know this. If I get hit by a pitcher, though, I want Twizzlers, not Red Vines. You can give them to Jay Adonde. I think it's a great tradition. Great move by him.
Go ahead.
The tradition ought to be giving the guy a bag of ice and more ice and more ice to put on that big whelp he's going to have on his knee. And after that, you give him icy. You give him the ice hots, right? The red hots. Because after you do the icing, then
good
you have
idea.
The heat
not
to
bad.
Loosen it up.
I don't know. Okay? All the candy in the world and you give him something. No. I'm a licorice guy too, Frank. I like that Daryl Lee's, I think it's called. Or the panda one too. You know, the red stuff from Australia. That's the good stuff. Go ahead, 30 seconds of FaceTime, Frank.
Wow. Well, I know Syracuse and BC left the Big East a long, long time ago, but it really felt like the old Big East died this weekend when Jim Boeheim retired after 47 years, and then 24 hours later, Patrick Ewing was out. No offense to Xavier and Marquette, but that's not exactly Syracuse, Georgetown, or St. John's, Georgetown in the final. But I will give you a name from the past. Chris Mullin's niece, Brooke Mullin, is on the Villanova women's team. Maddie Segrist is the star, but we still have a Mullin in the Big East. And for us old-timers who love the Big East, that's good news. So go Villanova.
Acevedo.
Hey, Jets, if you're worried about signing 13 guys on a wish list, how about you just get Lamar Jackson? How about you just do that instead of everything else?
Red Vines, superior liquor.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Red Vines, Frank.